Welcome back to Heartfire Tales.
Hey, guys.
What up?
Been a while.
Woohoo!
It's been
2 weeks.
2 weeks. For you listeners at home, it's been a little bit more than that for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had like...
at least 2.5.
Yeah. We've had like Comic-Con and stuff like that. But, yeah. But we are back in Lethwan, the land of might, magic, and mind flayers. I think I could say
we already used that.
No, you already used that one.
I think we said mics last time.
No, you said mind flayers before.
Yeah. God, I really thought you hadn't.
No, I just get to use mind flayers.
You used mind flayers after it was revealed he was a mind flayer.
Yeah.
Oh.
We need to start a list if we're going to be
doing I actually was thinking I should start a list, but I just wasn't.
You did it in a big voice too. You were like, mind flayers.
Yeah, it was
well,
better.
Well, then it's different now.
No.
Okay, might magic and mind flayer laboratories.
Oh.
Boo.
Whatever. He's successfully fucking... just clockwork orange my big monster. So I mean, like,
what a term.
So forgive me for not caring anymore. But yeah, let's not have me do the recap and spoil things. Let's roll for recap. Oh, I got a natural 20.
You jerk.
Oh, hey, I got a natural 20 too.
You got a natural 20 as well.
Oh, I had a good roll, but fine. I think
it's not a natural 20.
Everybody just wants me to do the recap. Okay. Give me a second here. Okay. I think I got an idea.
Where's he going?
I don't know.
He's getting a ukulele for some reason.
Christ. Here we go.
But anyway, so following the last episode, you know, our big fight that we had, you know, we're sitting and recovering and Melody is like, oh, well, we need to like actually write a song so I can sing about this. You know, when we get to the taverns and everything, you know, get everybody pumped up about the band.
I'm pumped. And, I'm very pumped about this.
And and of course, Sid is sitting with them being like, we need to make sure that this is like historically accurate. Like, we can't be putting anything that isn't true in there. And
do you want me to play Melody at this point? Or you're just taking...
We're not a part of this anymore.
Okay. Yeah. Ryan is literally running around the fucking studio taking over our mics because it's not suiting the way he wants to stand with his ukulele.
So yeah, Melody is sitting there and they pull out their, you know, little lute and they're getting very annoyed because Sid is actually reaching out and touching the strings of it to stop when he wants to comment on something. So they start out and they go, two boys went on an adventure.
Hold on, I don't think you can call Khan a boy at his age, you know?
Okay, fine.
A legally defined child and a middle-aged man, along with their rat of unusual size, went out to start a band. They met some Mr. Fishters and befriended giant kind, while all the while an evil wizard was peering into their minds. They met the wizard's sister and picked up on his trail, while the wonderful and beautiful bard was laying down the tale.
Do you want to correct me on that one, Sid?
No. That's fine. Good. Down in a deep dark cave, the band ate some shrooms. Except Sid because he's lame.
Hey, no, don't put that in there.
Okay.
Except Sid because he paid attention in the classes at school.
Is that better?
I guess.
And because he's lame.
Hey!
But anyway, then they met some mushroom men. And they were all named Mike. We kind of fought, but then we didn't. And now we're friends with Mike.
You just rhyme Mike with Mike.
Well, there were a lot of them.
He came upon the Edgelord, scheming in his lair. Bellacor, the Endless Knight, the mighty Dark Mind Flayer. The Dark One rose into the air, and times are grim indeed. The Sid loosed his bow and showed this wizard that he could bleed. Fear filled his eyes as he stared down his grave, and Khan cut him down with one swing of his eagle blade. They held the wizard down, and he thought his end was near. But the sister approached with her eyes filled with tears, and she sang,
Hold on. Sloan doesn't really sing.
Then she displayed her thoughts as images using ancient fae magic, but because this is a song, I'm going to use words to represent what she was saying, and I hope this is an acceptable medium, but please understand it isn't accurate. Do you remember as you listen to my song? Dancing in our cave and hopping in your froggy pond. Times weren't all that bad in the place that we come from. And brother, I can promise you there are better days to come. One more time. Do you remember as you listen to my song? Dancing in our cave and hopping in your froggy pond. Times weren't all that bad in the place that we come from. And brother, I can promise you there are better days to come.
Holy shit, Ryan.
I want to see Melody live in concert.
Yeah, that was like wildly good.
That's incredible. I'm going to sit back to my seat now. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm glad we made you do that.
Real glad I lied about that nat one I got on the air.
Yeah, I think I rolled like a 12.
So yeah, that's the recap. And well, and Melody,
looks like Melody just signed on for doing all the recaps ever.
Yeah.
And Con or and Sid gets excited and jumps up and goes, and that is the first song of the Flayer Slayers.
Who?
We got a new band name, boys.
I guess you do. Except you didn't slay him. He's still alive.
Yeah, I imagine he gets kind of annoyed when he hears Sid yell.
But he has to accept that we could have.
He does. I had like written like a whole like set the scene where everything was super dramatic and everything, but it was just gonna feel real weird. But I don't have anything else prepped, so I think I'm just gonna do it anyway.
Okay.
So, just
sing it.
Just let it be toe tapping.
You're in this very high-tech and sophisticated arcane laboratory.
That's just the intro to Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah. It is. And scattered around you are the dead bodies of those intellect devourers that, you know, had almost killed Khan, the enthralled drow, the weird experiment of the bricky, brainy, spiny boy. There's still some, like, sparks and glimmers of light in the air, you know, like the after effect of these visions that had played out from the purple arcane memory stones that had been hooked up to these like experiment vats, like typical arcane sci-fi
scary lab thing.
Yeah, like that's very much the environment that we're in. Melody has unplugged their guitar and seemingly just played a song. Khan has gone down and nearly been killed.
I was playing for the other team for a while.
Yeah, surviving only because Mike, your big mushroom man friend slash enemy that you brought along, was able to feed on a health potion.
Yeah, real glad we brought him along.
Yeah. And on the ground, crying after being, you know, successfully clockworked oranged, lies Bellacor, the Mind Flayer. His twin, the Satyr Sunrise, stands above him, also now weeping. The both of them are kind of crying. The rest of you are standing weary and bloodied around this scene. What do you do?
Write a song.
Yeah, apart from that.
Khan will go over and check that Sid and Melody are okay.
Hey, dude, I don't think I got hit a single time in that fight.
Yeah, so you shouldn't be checking on us. Are you okay? You one, you almost like killed, you tried to attack Sid there, but two, we saw you almost die.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did on both counts. Are you all right? That must have been terrifying for you.
To be fair, I was less worried about you and more worried about how the frog dude gave me, like, a spell of fear. So I was pretty terrified of most things in that fight, to be honest.
Probably mostly me. Yeah,
but,
no,
I... But, Con. Huh? Did you see my shot I made at the beginning, though?
Oh, that was very good. Hey. That was very good.
That was a pretty good shot. Yeah.
Are you, like, proud of that?
Very proud of it. Very proud of it. That was a one in a million shot.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks.
I'd say more, maybe, like, 1 in 20, hey, but,
up.
Like, okay. Okay. No, yeah, are we gonna, kill this guy?
Whoa!
Hey, guys.
He's kind of what we came here for. He's kind of just lying on the ground.
I know, we definitely came here just to kick the fuck out of him and straighten him out, like, right?
Oh, yeah, but he kind of took over a lot of my fellow mics and, like, it's kind of like it started infecting, like, you know, the whole like fungal colony and stuff.
Aye, but you got to look at it. When he did that, he himself was taken over by an even bigger dickhead. called Maynard.
What a dick sounding name.
Yeah, I know, right? Also, names themselves after a bag of sweets.
See, Con, a couple episodes ago, a couple hours ago, I don't know, it was like 20 minutes ago, I said to you that I was worried with him talking about using a knife to cut things out of the...
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get on top of that right now. So, look, Mike...
Yeah, I got a knife here.
Yeah, put that away for a second, will you?
I got my pockets.
Here, give it to me.
No. Oh.
Yeah, where did you get a knife? We asked you earlier if you had any weapons. Yeah, and you said
were chucking rocks.
I mean, you were very effective with
said,
the rocks.
We said, do you even have any weapons? You go, I don't have any weapons.
I'm pretty sure I said I had a knife.
You didn't. You said no.
I've been like a gentleman in the garden.
Classic Mike. Classic Mike. Listen, in the same way that he took over your mics, he himself was taken over. So,
that's a bit of a bomb.
It is, yeah. It means we can't hold him accountable for this. We can't carve him just yet. But there will be someone for you to carve later if you're up for
what?
I mean, kind of.
I just like having this guy along. If we just keep stringing him along with the promise of carving.
No!
It'd be great.
To be honest, Con, you said no. Did you say Dave?
Yeah, but you can call me Con. That's my nickname.
Whatever. Don't really give a shit, to be honest. I couldn't give two fucks about what you guys are going to do next. I kind of came here, kicked the shit out of this guy. If you can promise that he's not going to, like, you know, interfere with our phone call anymore, I'm going to kind of just be on my way.
Yeah, so fuck off then.
Alright, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. You
rancid prick. Go on, get out of here.
He, like, decks you on the shoulder a little bit.
Yeah, I kick him in the knee.
Melody takes out her book and scratches out the line about now we're friends with Mike.
Right, well, get fucked.
Yeah, you too. Get fucked.
All right, get fucked.
You awful bastard. Go on.
Yeah, get fucked.
Jesus Christ.
Mike walks away.
Sid is like...
Just leaves.
Fucking glad he's gone.
I took
Wait, can he still hear us in the mind?
Yeah, you hear like... it's like getting further away, even though it's still in your mind.
He's just consciously lowering his voice like...
Get fucked.
Yeah, get fucked. Get fucked, Mike. Go on. I can still hear you. Yeah, get fucked, Mike.
And then you feel that he, like, basically closes the rapport spores and, like, kicks you guys out of it.
He's fucking carved us out of it.
At least he didn't use the knife.
Yeah, that's a small mercy.
Con, where was he storing that knife?
I have to assume one of his mush slots.
Like, have it clinched in his mushroom butt cheeks.
Yeah, he is. I did notice he had a strong physique, like. There were lots of clefts and horizons in his abs alone, like.
How you doing, son?
You see that kind of, like, son has basically kind of ignored all of this exchange. And even when you guys are having this kind of, like, rapport spore conversation and everything, like, there was nothing coming from her and no images or anything being conveyed. She has been fully kind of just, like, sitting up with, you know...
Cradling.
Her twin brother. Like, basically, they're kind of, like, cradling each other. They've been apart for years now and kind of have finally been reunited. And you see them, like, you see, like, Bellacor kind of looking at her, and you guess that maybe they're kind of having, like, some sort of, like, psychic conversation between the two of them. But she doesn't seem to be paying, like, a whole lot of attention. You can try and, like, actually get her attention more if you want.
I feel like we should let them have a bit of time there.
I'm just going to go over and sit down beside Son and, like, put my arm, like, on her shoulder, put my hand on her shoulder, just so he's aware that, like, we're here.
Con's going to give Bellacor one of these two fingers in my eyes, two fingers in his
eyes.
Yeah.
As you kind of approach Sid, give me insight checks, the two of you.
5.
11.
Trying to see through a black eye.
Yeah, Con, you can't. Bellacor is you know, quite far from human. He doesn't have typical human characteristics. Very hard to read. Can't get any kind of good read on him. Sid, with an 11, you kind of just see, like, his tentacles, like, flare a little bit as you kind of, like, approach. And he looks, he doesn't look aggressive, but he now looks a little bit defensive.
I'm going to use something's not right and reroll my insight check on him.
Yeah, nice.
I got 19.
You see, with a 19, I think the fight has very much been taken out of him. And on, obviously, he, in the last episode, you know, he had been kind of, like, appealing to you to try, like, understand how you can keep going. Because you had, you know, previously, like, shown him all your pain and emotions and stuff. You know, so you got to get a good understanding that he's now kind of just in a very kind of vulnerable state. He's very defensive. He's not aggressive anymore, but he's defensive. And so when you see Sid come over to Sun, he kind of, like, pulls her back a little bit as if, and you get a feeling that's very much like, we've been apart for so long. We're finally together. don't want anyone to, you know, separate us again now. Mm. He kind of looks as if he's a little bit threatened by Cid, but not mechanically. He's on like 1 HP. Like, he knows he has no fight in him.
Yeah.
But he's still a bit, like, wary.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of him, you know, especially the way he was talking about, you know, referring to her as his worthless sister and everything like that, you know, calling her weak and everything. That's a good sign. So, you know, Cid's still going to walk over and show, like, more, just sit, you know?
Yeah.
Just sit down.
Sit.
Not try and say anything in rapport spores, not anything. Just
sit?
Yeah.
Give me just a straight up charisma check. Oh. Give me a Cid check, yeah.
3. I'm just sitting, man. I'm not trying to do anything.
I know, but it's more how he's going to... I'll tell you what, I'll give him an insight check.
See if he beats it.
Yeah, you definitely see he's still kind of very defensive, but, like, you know, you sit down and maybe you're looking a little bit awkward about the situation. You're not sure how to fully approach it, and that's kind of coming across in your body language and stuff.
To be fair, like, my intention is not to be disarming with him, because I don't trust him either.
Mm.
My intention is for Sun to know we're here with you.
Get you. I think there's that equal level of unease on both ends. He's as uneasy towards you as you are towards him, you know? And you see Sun kind of, like, looks up at you and kind of, you know, exudes a little bit of an aura of, like, tranquility and calm. You know, there's, like, you see, like, the image of, like, just, like, a mountain lake that's, like, very still and calm.
Pond,
yeah. With a little frog pond. Jumping in it.
Little rivets. From the reeds.
I hate you guys so fucking much.
Ribbit.
In your head, Cid, you hear Belcor speak.
What now? What do you want?
Is that, like, your actual voice?
Yes, I'm incredibly edgy.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was just, like, nightmare fuel stuff. All right.
No, it's the only way I've learned how to speak.
Okay. Dude, like, listen.
It might hurt the DM's voice because I feel like there might be a lot of talking, but it'll just have to do.
So listen, man, like, from what we saw during that fight there, it looks like Maynard is really influencing a lot of stuff, and it doesn't look like, it looks like he gave you opportunities, but not that he's, like, your best bud or anything. And there could be a lot more opportunities. One, also, the entire thing that started you down this bad path was, like, you know, the way the Hoots Force in general was acting about you and your sister. And now you've teamed up with the very guys that stole your childhood and stole your life from you. Like, I think you're fighting on the wrong side of this battle, dude.
You see, there's kind of, like, a lot of, like, inner conflict toward, like, in him. Now, you're kind of, like, sitting there, you're getting a little bit more of a read on him.
Maynard, he gave me life. He gave me these powers. He didn't, nothing was stolen from me. My parents, they abandoned us. We carved out what we could.
They didn't, man. They didn't abandon you. Like, they did the only thing that they could, which, like, they were literally people coming in trying to, like, you know, take you guys, steal you guys, murder you guys. You were also growing up rapidly. Like, Vanny and Aaron, look, man, people have this expectations that parents are, like, supposed to be perfect and make every decision the right way. But they're humans too, man. Like, they're people too. Like, and some, they do the best they can. They make the best choice they can to try and do, to give you at least life rather than have you be murdered or experimented on, or anything like that. And they did it in what they thought was the best way.
Whoa, give me a persuasion check here.
I can't hear anything, right? This is all just going on in their heads.
No, Cid speaks out loud.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll say, as Cid kind of speaks out loud, Belcor kind of projects, brings you in. Yeah.
Gonna need some help here, Con.
All right, sorry.
Cid is not the most influential in the world.
if you want to describe to me how you help Cid in this, but this has been Cid's plea. If you can describe how you can help, I'll give you advantage.
Okay. Khan is obviously, like, being a fighter, he's able to just kind of detach himself. Like, he's not seeing Belcor as, like, an opponent anymore.
Yeah.
So he's going to walk over, kind of cop one of these military squats in the little friend circle. And he's going to just be like, look, the lad is speaking the truth. You know, they saw no other option at that point. Like, if you can just put yourself in their shoes for 2 seconds, I think, what was the alternative in their heads? To watch their children be taken away? They did exactly what I would have done in that situation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You get advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, this is essentially you backing him up with it.
That's a 14.
14.
Yeah, I got these new dice, and they have not been rolling for me like Sid's dice normally do, so I got back my my blue dice here.
You talk about parents and wanting to do the best, but I've seen your dreams, your nightmares, Sid. I've seen how you feel about the father that's abandoned you. Would you extend him the same?
Yeah, dude, and that's my entire fucking point, dude, if you want to go down that path. Is that, like, look, Vanny and Aaron tried, did something that they thought was best, did what they could. They didn't just fucking walk out and leave you and your mom and your sister and just go, well, I don't really care if you die, and leave you, like, just without anything. They held you for as long as they could and did what they could. So how about you just take a step back and stop being all, everything is bad, my whole life is all bad and everything, and the world has never given me a single life-defining day. Because, like, it's not how life is, man. You're not the only one that suffers.
As you say, you're not the only one who suffers. He looks at a con as well. I was
about to say, like, Jesus, guy's got a catalog of suffering.
Fine, but Maynard at least took me in. He didn't kill me in the end.
He's the one. He is part of the reason that your parents had to do what they did.
Yeah, if it wasn't for him, you'd still be down in the last resort. Don't, like, if he's wrapped your mind around his finger to think that he's a graceful force coming in and affording you some comfort, that's not the case.
Like,
he's the reason you were put where you were. He was the threat that took you from your family.
This is like absolute Stockholm syndrome, dude.
I was literally just about to say, with a 19, he's got Stockholm syndrome. Like, he's 100% has, like,
yeah.
You're getting the feeling that he's been essentially more or less brainwashed into thinking he owes everything to Maynard.
How about this, bro? How about this? Like, okay, you're pretty intelligent. Like, you're pretty smart. Think about if there was someone else. If your sister was, like, under the control, had, like, teamed up with, I don't know, one of the other dicks, like the dwarf dude with the sword or whatever his name was. I don't remember his name.
I don't think he was said on camera. Okay. His name is Araya.
Okay, yeah, I don't remember that name. So
call him Dwasshole.
Yeah, that Dwasshole. Like, what would your thoughts be?
Seeing Sid say all this, right? Khan has seen people with, like, Stockholm syndrome from the war and stuff, you know? And he kind of gets that, like, it's kind of you put yourself in an echo chamber in your head and you can't see the wood for the trees.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've only been exposed to this one person who is giving you the only little bit of kindness that you've ever gotten. But, like, to see it from an outside point of view might put it more in perspective. So Khan is going to approach Bellicor and be like, look, you've had the blinders on here for a while, like, you know, so why don't you look at this from our point of view? And I'm going to open his mind up to let him see it the way we're seeing it. I don't think I have to roll to do nothing.
I think that's fine. You've kind of, like, established your own little rapport spores now with him.
Yeah.
You know?
Come on, Bellboy. Have a look.
He kind of takes a while. He's like, just, I need a minute. And he kind of just, like, goes and, like, kind of just, like, retreats into himself for a little bit. As you do this, kind of, Melody has been kind of hanging back a bit and beckons you over, Sid.
Hey, dude.
Hey, kind of seems like he's hard to get you, but he kind of seems like you're getting there. Just wanted to kind of point out this, and she points at one of the vats, and you see, like kind of like a plaque on the vat that says Experiment B, location Lake Power Aura. They're like, I think, you know, this kind of seems like, if I had to put two and two together here, B, Lake Aura, like
Blake Aura.
Or be like Cor, maybe. But Blake, we could call him Blake.
Oh, we could call him Blake. All right, let's give him a...
I mean, like, this seems like the only world he's really known. And, like, we don't know what kind of experiments that Maynard has put him under here. You might be tough to get through. I don't know. I kind of just thought.
Sorry, I haven't been called over.
Get out of here. Get out of my brain, Con.
Con runs out the back brain door.
When are these mushrooms going to wear off?
The mushrooms are worn off.
Whoa, that's kind of an experiment B. So, like, is there an experiment A around here?
You see on one of the other vats, there is experiment A. I don't have a cool little thingy for this, but you piece together that experiment A was possibly on the mics and the mushrooms and the, like, psychic rapport spore ability.
So, Jim, question to the DM.
Yeah.
How, if Bellacor, so Bellacor is a frogman, right?
Yes.
And he was brought to the attention of the Hoots Force because of his froggy transparency or his froggy visage.
Yeah.
You.
Well, we don't know that yet.
You don't know that.
Well, we know that, like, we know, we have an image of.
I will say this to you, because it was a few episodes ago, but you would know that. And you would probably know just in general from living through these times that the first thing a lot of people would do when a monster was spotted is raise a call to the Hoots Force.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be very normal if in a situation where a crowd had gone up to investigate a monster that they would then go and call the Hoots Force. And that's possibly what had alerted.
So my question is, Bellacor became frog-like before the experiment.
Yes.
Yeah.
The experiments gave him his power.
And you, again, this only happened 5 minutes ago in-game, you think back to the last vision that happened in the fight of Maynard.
He lashed out at him.
Bellacor lashed out at him, but at the start of that conversation, Maynard came down and was like, there was a recent, he said, a large influx of energy into this plane has been detected recently. And with that usually comes further mutations. Tell me, have you experienced any further development with your psychic abilities?
Okay, so this is as much Maynard monitoring his growth.
It seems to be a bit of both.
Okay, yeah, got it.
Okay.
So he's directing a natural process to his, or a not natural, but, you know.
Yeah. Give me intelligence checks to both of you. Investigation if
17.
You have it.
17. Investigation. I actually think I have.
8.
17.
Con, with a 17, maybe Sid, you're too kind of like focused on monitoring Sun and stuff like that and kind of making sure she's safe and kind of keeping an eye on Bellacor or Blake. And Con, this kind of comes to you as a very kind of, you've also seen Axel potentially use like arcane means of enhancing mutations or enhancing latent power.
When he bigified
Thunderslash, yes, but back in Hovden as well, when there's this like expulsion, like, you know,
yeah,
increase in power, that there was like a, you know, this natural ritual that was like guided through an arcane means as well. Okay. So there's some parallels here that's going on.
All right.
But kind of as you guys are like giving Blake some space, he kind of like comes to a little bit.
Okay.
And especially because he sees you like looking at his vat, you know, that where he knows he was kept for so long.
What do you want to know?
Context what that next? First off, we need you to tell us what the Hoots Force are doing. Tell us everything you know about Maynard and his plans. Dump that exposition all over us, DM.
Maynard comes and goes. Sometimes I don't see him for months. It was about 2 years ago, maybe three. He found me. I was journeying down. He came across me near an underground lake. He brought me here. He captured me. There's that weird Mike thing. There was people like him that I was subjected to as well.
There.
he's been, this is maybe his alibi. I think this has been here for a while. He's talked before about how he ensured that this place wouldn't be disturbed, that they didn't want any people getting close to it. someone called Azealia was tasked to keep people away, but this is before I had arrived. He seems to be doing experiments. There might be others like me. I don't know. He doesn't tell me a lot. He kind of kept me down here, but as my powers increased, he gave me more freedom to do what I want. He wanted to see what I can create and what I could do and how my powers can expand. But he taught me and everything I know, and he increased my powers a lot too. What do you mean? What they're doing, though? I don't.
Like you can tell that like his worldview is going to be quite narrow here.
Okay.
He'll know a lot about certain things, but wider scope, he's not going to have that much of a.
Okay, I want you to, and this is going to be a weird request, but listen, Blake, can I call you Blake? First thing we're going to do is just get rid of that name he gave you, because that's probably not the best. New episode, new you.
he didn't. I took that name for myself.
Well, then how about I give you Blake as a nickname? Because a nickname is a great way to to free yourself of what came before. And you know what? I'm going to call you Blake anyway. You can call yourself whatever you want. Listen, Blake.
Fine.
Strange request here, but I'd like you to delve... actually, hold on. Sidebar with Sid. Hey, is it all right if I ask him to read Fink's mind so he can see everything that happened in Hogsden?
One second. Gotta get down on my knees.
Like, Fink?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Fink.
Unfortunately, would be a great time to be able to actually talk to you.
Fink.
But Khan has the idea of...
Fink.
Yeah, you heard him. Yeah. Are you cool with that, buddy?
He kind of like bares his teeth a little bit at Blake. But like kind of turns into a weird sick smile and kind of like gives a Fink.
Okay.
What's he going to subject this poor frog to?
Yeah. Also, you know, like when we're out silently hunting, you know? Pretty much subconsciousing for you now. Like, give me the signal if he starts trying to do anything weird. You don't have to.
Fink gives you a bit of a nod, but also looks at you expectantly as if he's like kind of hoping to get something from this request as well.
Hoping to get something from
it.
Like food?
Yeah, it's Fink. What else?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, dude. Like, of course, like, yeah, you'll get plenty of snacks and stuff, but you also can't can't eat the guy.
There's brain. There's brain boys everywhere. You could give him a brain boy.
I am worried about the...
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I've just got, like, food.
Yeah, packs, you can just give him a little Finky snack, yeah.
Yeah, a Finky snack.
Yeah.
It's like a little donkey-shaped biscuit.
Finky dinky dee!
Yeah, so, Bellacor / Blake...
Traumatizes himself
by looking in Fink's mind.
That rat really likes donkey.
I feel like the music here should be like ska.
What are you trying to get from him seeing Hovden in action? What's the goal here?
Go
ahead.
We want him to, one, see the kind of shit that Maynard is up to. And see it up until the point where he wipes our minds. And then see if he can identify any of the magic and processes that were going on in Hovden.
I'm not going to do the voice.
Does he recognize the YMCA?
He doesn't recognize the YMCA. But he fully recognizes the memory stones. They're the same as that's in his lab now, and he kind of explains how they work in that they're kind of just able to extract people's memories from them and kind of leave them wiped. He explains that they're not perfect, and so obviously, as you guys have firsthand experience, if you get enough outside understanding of what's happened, again your memories can kind of come back, like your brains will like repair themselves to like heal those memories, but it takes a lot to do that, so you guys had to be fully walked through what had happened
blow by blow what had.
But now you guys kind of like have kind of pieced those memories back, so he kind of explains a bit about how they work, and he also explains that part of what he has been doing with these memory stones, because he'd often bring them down here in a similar sort of way to how Melody had like accidentally shown these visions, you know, would kind of like replay them almost as if it's like a projector screen or something as he's like watching over things. And he would like, you know, replay these as if it's like a projector screen or something. And you would see that he seems to be kind of like looking for many other types of monsters that he seems, and then there's like memories then of, you know, final memories of maybe someone who has seen a monster or seen other events like this and then have been wiped out.
Mm.
So Hovden is not the only village that they have
done.
It maybe has kind of been more of the bigger scale of things. And sometimes it's like, oh, there was just like a little caravan or a wandering merchant, maybe kind of the same as Johnny, who has gone. Something has happened that someone in their party has mutated, or something has happened, or a monster's gone and they've come down, killed the monster, and killed that person to like basically keep things under wraps.
Yeah.
And he kind of lets on that the amount of stories and reports that maybe have head back into town or gone into general knowledge is maybe a little less than actually what is out there.
Mm. So they've done a good job of covering it up.
And obviously then a lot of, you know, him curating Bellacor's mutation and transformation and enhancing his powers and guiding those powers into it as well.
Okay. I have another question for him.
Yep.
On our way down here, we noticed that a lot of the ore was missing from like strange locations in the mine. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, he basically tells you that from what he understands it, Maynard asked Azealia to go and destroy all the ore in the mountains so that they would stop mining and stop getting closer. And Sid, with your ranger knowledge as well, I think, because you can't get lost or anything, right? Is that a thing?
It's out in nature, so I don't know about if a cave really works.
Caves are nature.
Sure.
That's where rock Pokemon live.
Yeah.
I will say that you kind of have a roughly good sense of direction anyway, to know that you have kind of come back on yourself. So you'd gone deep into the mines and beyond them, but you have then kind of come back and you're probably like maybe directly underneath the mines is where this cave is.
Mm.
So you probably think that maybe only a mile or so up is the mines.
Okay. And mile?
Maybe.
That's so deep down.
That's so deep.
You guys are very deep down.
That's like...
Oh,
so maybe a mile to like the top of the mines. So like you guys are not that far away.
That's still huge. That's hugely down.
That's so far down.
Is it down? Fine. 500 meters. Okay. A kilometer. Whatever. The crux of it is that you're essentially directly below
the
if we keep going down, we can reach the center of the earth.
Probably, yeah. What else would you like to ask of Bellacor?
What's your favorite color?
Clearly purple.
I think it's important to start thinking about things like that, about your personality, about who you want to be.
Is purple your favorite color because you chose it, or is it the only thing you've had access to? Notice your robes are the same as Maynard's.
This breaks him.
I guess I never thought of it.
Can I take out an old Holy Thunder Force robe and give it to him and be like, here you go, this is blue and yellow.
It's like a light purple and a bright purple. I don't understand.
The fact that you are getting purple out of... I think he has some of his own blood in his eyes.
Yeah. It's because he only knows purple.
Yeah.
Right? So he's trying to equate all the other colors to purple?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Oh, look, this is called blue, and this is called gold.
Sid is
going
to...
You can have this. It's a gift. It costs nothing.
Sid's going to pull... first off, everything should cost nothing. But anyway...
Reach!
Hey, son, can you come over here for a second?
Son comes over.
Listen, we've kind of become aware of the fact that your brother has probably been tortured quite a bit in the name of science and experimenting. And because he's a bit of a scientist himself, he's going to think that these things were appropriate and accurate, but probably very traumatic for him.
maybe be careful about asking him too much about what he went through, you know, because right now needs to be healing for him, not re-traumatizing him.
She nods and shows like understanding of that.
Joining your sidebar. As an aside, it very much seems like from everything he said there, the Hoots Force are going to know we're here and they're going to know what we've done. I don't know how, but if I were Maynard, I would make sure that I would know if somebody came here.
Hey, Frogman, does Maynard have like a psychic connection with you?
No, but he comes here every month, maybe 2 months. He was last here 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. Okay, let's go, kids. Let's. Yeah, we're gonna need to prepare it. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's rocks to rubies. They're coming for him.
We can't also just leave Khan because, like, first place they'll go will be Stone's Reach and tear the place apart, you know?
We could, I don't know. We could reconvene in Sun's Cave. Do they know about that?
I'm scared of not being near Stone's Reach.
Yeah.
Because we put everybody else in danger.
But that's my concern, is if they know we're here and now we know that even a wisp of a mutation, they're leveling towns.
Yeah.
I feel like we should get back to Stone's Reach.
Do we try and, like, rally the people, or, like...
Well, first off, we need to be there, and we can gauge what we need to do when we get there. But I think, yes, probably we should let them know that there's probably a fight coming.
Yeah. How in the world are we going to convince them of anything? Like, we got some strong people, actually. We got Stormzy.
We got the Giants, maybe?
You think?
I am the ultimate friend of Giants. I wonder if we could get Stormzy to send him out a spell or something.
I said just mutters under his breath. Yeah, they'd be a good help.
We have Nadini, but I don't know how combat focused they are.
We could throw donkeys at them. Those are expendable.
Yeah.
I think his eyes that was just, light up.
That was just a direct shot back about the Giants.
It
wasn't
was. It? Yeah, it was.
You sadistic fuck. I'm jealous of your achievements that you robbed from me. So allow me to bring up this recent pain. Who else have we got?
I got an idea.
Bush might still be hanging around.
I got an idea. So I'll go into town, into Stone's Reach, where it's, like, real crowded and everything, you know? Mm. And I can, like, run in there and I'll be like, help, I've been robbed! And when people come over, you know, and they're like, oh, what happened? I'd be like, I've been robbed by the capitalist system, by the Hoots Force themselves, fellow workers! And then we can, like, start talking to them for, like, 10 minutes, you know, get them all rallied up. And then Melody can jump out and, like, start playing a song, get them all fired up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's an idea.
I'm always there for playing a song.
All right. Yeah. Also, Blake, you said that you have Stone's cataloging the destruction of these other towns?
No, he...
And you can tell from the visions that you've seen are all relatively recent.
They degrade with time, do they?
Not so that they degrade with time, but the orders just aren't here. There's only a few stones here.
Okay.
This maybe looks like his personal lab, but he's maybe bringing these somewhere else, doing something with them, bringing back to the Hootsmen. You don't know.
That would have been mega handy for convincing people they need to defend themselves, but fine. Okay. Either way, I think we need to get back quick, sharp, and in a hurry, because whatever's happening is happening right now. Like,
or in a week.
They're going to be mobilizing. I think I feel like Maynard is a magic man, and I feel like he's going to know. One of these jars or something is listening to us. Can't start smashing all the jars.
Calm down, Link. Let's go.
Yeah. As you kind of like, as you start like smashing these jars, Bellacor comes over and kind of just like, kind of like a cat, just like knocks him off. And you see like a weird fucking tentacly smile come over him.
Bellacor.
Do you want to trash the lab?
I give Bellacor like a stick. And I'd be like, go wild.
You see like, as he's kind of been regaling this and to you all, and you've all obviously been like reacting with like horror of like, you know, the evil things that these Hoots Force are doing, he's kind of like, and especially now being with his sister, and like she can't hide her emotions, she's like an open book for everything, and also showing mirroring the same emotions that you're all showing, he's beginning to realize like, okay, maybe I don't have the right over here. And yeah, maybe I have anything. And you see he takes the stick and he goes over to the experiment bat. Yeah. Like, just smashes it once, steps back, casts a lightning bolt on it, and just fucking fries all of the experiments here.
Didn't stick at all. All right.
Hey, Con. Hey, Con. With him cooking that fat sauce in there, kind of smells like frog legs.
Yeah, it does.
Good mushrooms.
Yeah. French would love it.
Fink is so hungry right now.
All right. Good to get that out of your system.
Hell yeah, dude.
Is there a way I can help?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I 100% think we're going to need that, but we do, like, time is of the essence here. So let's almost said frog hop out of here. Let's hot foot it out of here.
Hey, man.
I don't understand that reference.
Hey, man. Let's frog hop out of here. Let's rip it and rip it, yeah?
People might panic a bit when they see you. Also, with you joining our side, Maynard's going to come at you. So, here. And Sid, basically, without telling anyone what's happening, begins undressing in front of him just so he can take his hoodie off and goes, hey, this is like a drow item that's for protection. Like, so if somebody tries to attack you and hit you, you can basically deflect an attack and restrain them. Because he's going to come right at you first, probably, if you've... And extra feature, it's got a hood, which you can pull over your head and hide your features.
And so edgy.
And it's got a spider motif aggressively sewn into it. So,
I love that. He stashed the lab and you're like, oh my god, he could be so punk rock, and you immediately give him like a leather.
Yeah, you kind of see that, like, Belcor, like, kind of like rips off like the purple robe and like puts the drow like cloak around him instead. And goes,
let's fuck shit up.
Con, found our bassist.
Yes. And I'm assuming then you guys start heading back towards the surface.
Can I just check the lab like hyper quick to see if there's anything? Yeah,
what
cool.
are you looking for?
Anything. Just
give me investigation.
Well, give me anything. First, primarily anything Maynard might have owned. And then secondly, anything fucking cool. Just fleece his house before we go. Natural 20. Maynard's plan.
What would you like to find here, Jim? What's your best outcome here, realistically? I've got nothing planned for this.
I've got a suggestion for one thing.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to give my suggestion, and then give yours, and we'll see where we land. There's two things I'd be looking for. One, anything that lets me know that Maynard was monitoring this and knows that we know what we know. Mm-hmm. And two, anything that's indicative of Hoot's Force or Maynard's grander plan.
Basically, mine is something kind of the same way, to be able to show regular people like something that...
Yeah.
Hey, this lab that was under there doing experiments, this is Hoot's Force.
Some good proof.
Yeah, one of their business cards, you know? Like does the plaque, the experiment B thing, does it say property of Maybay? Baybay, Maymay.
Bellboy and Maybay.
To your point, Ryan, you, on like the vats and things like this, you guys, you know, decide, okay, look, before you head out, we're going to turn the space over, basically. Let's fully search through it, try to intuit anything that we can. You find essentially like a maker's mark,
like a guild seal.
Exactly. Yeah. On a lot of this arcane equipment. And it is from like Magitech engineers from Valega that Melody would recognize being from there. And they kind of point out like, oh, I mean, like, yeah, the reason why used my, you know, arcane guitar here is because like I've never been able to use it anywhere because I didn't have a power source, but this is working off the same things. And, you know, we've only had this in the Bard College. It's incredibly expensive. Like, only people like the Hoot's Force and other powerful figures can afford this kind of
equipment,
you know, like, and this is a verified seal. Like, we can... There would be a paper trail of who this is, you know?
Nice.
So you'd be able to use that as like a very compelling piece of evidence, being like, look, we got this from a cave down here, basically.
Yeah.
You could take one of like the most recent memory stones that shows Maynard talking to Bellacor.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And that would be a very, also a big, like, you know, he's actively not killing a monster here and is working with monsters.
Yeah.
So that's probably...
I mean, so are we.
So, yes.
Yeah, but we never claimed to be a going, oh, wait, yeah. We call ourselves the Monster Mashers.
That's okay, we've changed it now to
but
another lie.
You also have people who have seen Bellacor in their dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a fair amount of evidence here that will kind of corroborate this. What exactly were you looking for again, Jim?
Indication of the master plan and anything that would let me know that he knows what's happened.
You are actually very confident that he wouldn't know what's happened here.
Oh.
And
all my previous role playing aside.
Yeah. Yes. And you're actually very surprised by this. And Melody turns, and maybe between Bellacor, you get the idea that maybe Maynard is kind of suspicious of other people. Maybe he's trying to keep things on the down low.
This is a Maynard project, not a Hoots project.
Maybe.
Everything is only Maynard's name on the documents or things like that.
Yeah, and I'll say you find, like, you would actually see that there is a lot of, there's like a bookshelf that's clearly been emptied.
Mm.
As if Maynard kind of once, and Bellacor Blake can kind of corroborate this, you know, kind of once Blake had kind of come into his powers and was using the lair more himself, Maynard has maybe like taken everything away.
Redacted some of the information.
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm going to say you find like just like some scraps that you're able to kind of piece together. Ooh, that
I like to think that I would have found a piece of paper that was under the piece of paper he was writing on that had like, I was able to take a rubbing of and see what he was up
sure.
to.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, we've also given him a name based off of the vat he was held in. What if we call him like Fredo?
As in Fredo the Frog, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You've killed me.
Christ. The best guess of what the master plan here from Maynard's point of view is, and maybe Cid can kind of help with this, is that there's a kind of...
I shall try.
Cid, it's not too different than the type of quest you've been sent on.
Oh, document things.
Document things. But to... Maybe his version of it was to...
Oh, wait. So he's got this documentation of other things. Oh, man. Cid is taking that.
He doesn't have that.
It's not there.
This is kind of like...
just like a hint.
Oh,
the hints of what you're able to kind of piece together from this. That he is trying to... Much like you're trying to document things. Much like Axel's point of view was to understand the arcane side of things. His was to how to manipulate.
How to harness
and
this
how to
shit.
Harness yeah. this.
Is there any documentation left of any beasts or anything that Cid wouldn't have seen before?
No.
Bellacor was studying them though, wasn't he?
Yes. And
so he can brain blast them.
But the one thing that really kind of stands out is that the Hoots Force are acutely aware of when there are spikes in extraplanar
these
magical bleed.
This ley line stuff.
Yeah.
They know exactly when that is. And when you've been talking to Stormzy and, you know, you reference Stormzy's thesis that he's given you, like, it lines up exactly to where Stormzy was like, hey, there's a weird spike here and I don't know why. And you think back to like, oh, like literally a couple of days after is when Maynard was getting here. He's like, there was a spike here. Like, we know this was a spike here. You maybe get, you don't know if they're just monitoring it incredibly well from somewhere else.
Or do they know it's coming?
Or do they know what's coming? And know then when to check in.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, fuck me. Will we hit the road, get back to Stone's
Ridge? On the road again.
Just can't wait to get on the road again.
You guys.
Hate that song.
Yeah, me too.
Get on the road again. You successfully navigate back through the tunnels, back through this kind of upper level of the Underdark, the down under.
I take a moment to, I see Mike and I, hey, fuck you.
Fuck you. Yeah,
fuck you.
Except the report spores have worn off. So he just looks at you angry.
Yeah, you know, I can tell. Just, I know what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah. Flip each other off.
You go up out of the caves, out of the mines, into where Nadini are.
Hold up, Bellicor. Blake, sorry.
You guys come out of the cave. Are you guys going to, like, talk to Nadini or anything? Or what's your plan here? Or are you going to just head straight for...
First off, Khan is, like, blinking in the sunlight. And then he realizes Blake hasn't been out of that cave in how long? How's well, he reacting to the sun, right?
We have the sunglasses.
Oh, yeah, we give him one of the sunglasses.
Okay.
So now he looks real fucking cool.
Turn them off first, so that way it's not even brighter.
Yeah, and I think at this point, it's probably, like, dawn. You guys have been, like, going all night, essentially, with this. But as you guys kind of, like, you're getting to the edge of this cave... You're putting these sunglasses on Blake with his hoodie and drow cloak
on.
I can't
wait to update the arc for
him. He looks so cool now.
He's like, you know, he has your hoodie on and it's like slightly too big for him, so it's like kind of come down to his thighs, and he has his hands in it like a real like nu metal style.
I think he's definitely like cut little thumb holes.
Oh,
like proper...
they're probably there already.
Oh,
from
yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Cool.
Clothes do not exist with long sleeves. They don't have thumb holes.
And as you guys are like, you know, prepping Blake to come out into the real world again, into like the topside world.
Yeah.
You see Bush approach you, and you see on your face of I think pretty sure it was Gavin.
Yeah, because Gavin Rossdale.
Gavin Rossdale. Yeah. I was like, dudes!
Hey, Gavin!
Hey,
what's up, man?
What's up?
Fuck these guys. All right, hi.
Hey,
how's it going?
Dudes, we're glad to see you. We heard that you guys were coming up here. We needed to kind of skip town.
Why? What happened?
So, you seem to you dudes like know a Monica?
Yeah.
Like, big dude? Giant?
Oh, yeah, right, yeah, like Monica. The record label, like, or label.
No. Monica is Monica. The king of the giants.
No, oh. Not your, don't think he's the king.
Oh, no, that's Fred. He's the one who got Tesla.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Monica.
The first giant we met, right?
Monica with a K, I think, is the name. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not where you think.
Not where you think.
Not where you think. Yeah, dude's like, like late last night, like this like giant came down to Stone's Reach and was like, dudes, where's like my ultimate friend of giants, Khan?
That's me.
That's you. All right, cool. Yeah, seemingly right. He saw the Hoots Force go up to like Stormzy's cabin, and they like got like major like ick vibes from them as they were going up there. And like obviously we know that they kind of give those ick vibes because we can kind of see them do all the whole like, you know, mini genocide.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of thought, well, you know, well, we saw that. We don't want to be there. But we thought we'd come, you know, kind of skip town, come get you guys and then bail. But like, yeah, Monica's been asking for you.
Okay. That's not great. But second idea.
Also, who are your friends here?
Oh, this is our bassist and our drummer.
Yeah.
Keyboardist.
Yeah, this is the synth
artist.
Like,
really awkwardly, like, they, like, hang back in the shadows because it's, like, still dawn. They can't see properly. Like, you can't see, and they, like, really awkwardly give away.
Yeah, they haven't had their public announcement yet, so we're just trying to keep that on the down
low. Oh, dude's going for, like, the real kind of, like, you know, you're gonna get your bar to, like, say, like, oh, big thing's coming in a week announcement.
The band, but bigger, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and it's just kind of the same thing that bands do all the time. Yeah, kind of get it. But yeah, record labels, you know?
For sure.
So, like, yeah, what do you guys make of that? What's the...
So that's not great, but have another idea, dude.
All right.
Instead of skipping town, how would you like to help us take on the Hoots Force?
Dude, I'm not really... That's...
Okay.
Like, you...
I mean, these guys don't seem like they're really up for a scrap at all now.
No,
dude, I mean, like, I saw that one, like, that one guy just fucking fireball an entire ship out of existence, so, like...
Fair. All right. Yeah, no, that's fair. Cool. Yeah, we'll rush back to Stone's Reach then, because that's a big deal. But how about
why are you rushing?
Hold on, but you do something for us.
Okay.
So Nadini are here, right?
Yeah.
So So they'll probably be a good place to hide out, you know, for one, unless you're just wanting to leave entirely. But before you do, if you could stop into Nadini and ask if, like, a couple reps or something could come to Stone Reach.
Send a couple of Presleys down.
Yeah.
Let them know it's going to be a fight, though.
I mean...
Well, I figured just to talk first.
Oh, right. I think Khan's timeline on this is much shorter than yours, because if they're gone up to Stormzy, there's one place they're going next. Like,
fair. Yeah. Well,
do you guys look real, like, concerned? We kind of just want to, like, skip to, but, like, you don't think they're gonna...
That's exactly what I think.
Yeah, that's what we think.
I think if we're not quick, Stone's Reach is gonna go the way of that boat you saw.
I'll be honest, man, like, this is... I get what you're saying, Khan, but also, Gavin, like, when you signed up to be in a band, you wanted to save people. You wanted to help people, right?
Dude, I kind of just wanted to be famous, but I mean...
See, Sid, this is what I've been saying all the time. These bands are nonsense.
Think about the stories about the great bands, man.
Yeah, dude, most of them are about to...
Those bands are the ones who are about to burn us down.
Like, I've heard way too many stories about them, dude. Like, and let me tell you, the stories of, like, what they can do and then what I've seen, like, they kind of mostly match.
Well, all stories should match with reality. That's the point. But anyway, I mean, man, look, the more of us there are, the more of a chance we have to stop the atrocities they're doing.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Look, if you want to be famous, this is a fast track to that.
He kind of, like, looks at his band members, looks at his bard. The bard kind of, like, begrudgingly kind of, like, shrugs his shoulders. He's like, ugh. Yeah, dudes, we're not really, like, too combat-y. I mean, like, if there's something like our illusions and stuff can do, like, we're...
But come on, man, think about it. It will be easier, the three, you know? My good friend Fear, and I point at Bellacor, and you and me. Which is a lyric from Glycerin from Bush.
Amazing.
So wow. That should...
No, well, there's the episode title.
That should convince them. Their own lyrics thrown back at them.
Dude, I can't believe you just use my own lyric against me.
Your absolute band fanboy status is finally paying off for us.
Fine. Fuck. I can't believe we're doing this. Holy shit. Okay, dudes. Yeah. Lead the way, I guess.
Nice.
Right, on we go. Do we want to throw a head or an envoy into the Nadini and let them know what's going on, see if they can't help?
I think we probably should. Like, yeah. I mean, for one, to check on the rockiness, you know?
Yeah. Can we head down? And
yeah, you guys just, are essentially...
Because we're in the camp, right?
You're at the edge of the camp. Yeah. So you're essentially there, yeah. It's dawn, so, like, you see these guys have, like, you know, have probably just arrived and have maybe, like, knocked on doors and been like, you know, where they go.
Straight for us,
and
yeah.
Probably tried to come straight for you guys. Like, they look shattered, you know? You guys are also probably, like, getting tired yourself. You guys go to, you know, where Imelda is. She kind of, like, you know, you knock in. She doesn't really move much because she's still stone.
But is there, like, any progress on that at all?
You see that, like, she has, like, a load of alchemical potions, like, brewing, and she's like, oh no, how is, what's the crash? Kind of, like, rubbing sleep out of her eye, like, yeah, it's kind of early. What is
Whose force are going to come and kill people?
Who are they going to kill? Is there monsters around that they're going to get?
No, they're the monsters. They're going to attack Stone's Reach and kill everyone in it.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Good morning.
Right, hang on, I need my coffee for this.
There's a wake-up call.
Yeah, holy shit. Fuck. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, very sure.
And what about the whole, like, nightmare situation and all that? Like,
oh, that's all
resolved.
Yeah, misunderstand.
Now the nightmare is the waking world.
Okay.
Think about this.
Kind of my entire world has just been thrown upside down here.
Yeah.
The nightmares were actually really effectively being caused by the Hoots Force.
That was fucking pricks.
Yeah.
Fucking pricks. I'm glad the universe is finally on our side with this.
Yeah.
How'd you notice? What's the...
Look, we're really, really strapped. This is... imminent. Can you just take our word for it? Here, I flash loads of proof and be like, I don't know.
Yeah, use the thing that we got.
Yeah, look.
The Mind Stone.
Okay, yeah, you guys, like.
Yeah, poof the Mind Stone at her.
Check this out. Slideshow.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Can you
Can
you help us in this defense of the town at all?
Here, lads, you look like yours are fucking in bits. He's like,
he got hit a lot by a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did have the shit absolutely kicked out of me for a while.
What's the timeline on this?
We don't really know, but they are at Stormzy's. They were already at Stormzy's place.
And Monica had to take the time to get down here.
Yeah, giant came.
And they can fly, so I think this is a relatively imminent thing. Khan is just military alarm bells. Alarm bells, like.
Right. Right here, lads. We have this. It's a bit of a spicy concoction, right? But he's can have it. She puts some mugs of coffee into your hands and takes out this like small vial and like adds some in. It's like, fucking drink some of that. It'll get you going. He's might crash after it, but it'll, if you think it's gonna be soon, this'll be it. And mechanically, you'll be able to get a long rest out of this.
Khan necks it. Before she's even done explaining, he just sees the coffee and goes for it.
The next morning, when you finish long rest, you'll have two levels of exhaustion. Like, you're like burning through it, but like it'll get you going.
Yeah, okay.
After Sid's experience with tea, Sid has not necked it.
I mean, look, it might kind of taste like shit if he's don't, but like he's, I mean, up to you. If you don't need it now, no. But.
Yeah, I might. I mean, you have to drink it while it's hot.
It's better if you drink it while it's hot. It might, if you drink it cold, it might have like a little, have a lesser effect. The hangover is still going to be just as bad, but you know.
Do we have something that's safe for rats?
Rats can fucking eat whatever they want.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah. They do. Yeah. Does the little thing need a little pick me up?
Yeah, it does.
All right. Here you go. She puts like a little drop into like a little doggy dish for Fink.
Khan, I'm just worried about the side effects, both of us being down and out after this, especially because I didn't get hit the last one. I only cast one spell.
Well, if you don't want to take it, that's absolutely fine, because you are in a much better shape than I am, but I've literally, you know, burnt most of my resources.
No, I know.
I'm almost dead, so.
Yeah, I've still got like three spell slots and stuff, so.
Yeah, I've got. Literally,
not spell slots. No, I don't cast spells.
No spell slots. Nothing.
I don't actually cast spells.
And you're probably very low on HP.
Yeah, I was on fucking six hit points or something like that.
Yeah, I'm on 58. So yeah, I'm all right.
Look, lads, use our best, but like,
yeah, Khan, next thing.
Right, you get the full benefits of a long rest,
Khan.
Yeah. If you don't drink it now, Sid, you will get a short rest from it. But you'll still have the same two levels of exhaustion after you.
I think I've still got a spell slot potion too that she gave us last time.
You probably do, yeah. Yeah, if you want to just take that.
Yeah.
If you guys, you keep going, Sid, until like tonight, you might have to do like a con save or something like that to not suffer exhaustion just from physically having been awake so long. Just so you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like the long rest here is also benefit of just not passing out and like falling asleep here as well. So yeah, look, as I said, I don't know what we can do. Like, you have seen Elvish Presley, he's not too good with a bow or anything. But like, if he's need, I don't know what's his need.
I'm looking. We can't ask you to fight. You as a group are in no state.
Yeah, sorry.
Can we bring down some potions or something if that's what your strength is?
Yeah, I'm sure I can give you some potions. Yeah. Is there something specific you want?
Shields, health, silence, stuff that makes magic not work.
Don't have anything that doesn't.
We're not really like magical types, but they are.
Mm.
Big old megaphone, so it's too loud for people to cast spells.
Yeah, well, something that goes pop in their eyes so they can't concentrate on things.
Big old hat that goes woo.
Yeah.
Distract him.
I'm on a little school bus we can ride into town on that has a really annoying siren.
Yeah.
Filled with clerics.
Yeah. A bard that doesn't insult me on a regular basis.
Yeah. I want.
Hey,
can you guys build a statue that just fucking heaps the shite on people when they're trying to attack the town.
Do you have a sister that you don't, or like a mother-in-law that you don't like that also got turned to a rock and we can shoot her out of a catapult?
Yeah. Can we get a trombone that only plays really annoying noises?
I think Melanie already has that.
Yeah, that's right. I think she does.
Yeah, yeah, look, I can definitely give you some healing potions. He's kind of got the brunt of them. I have one here that was just kind of ready this morning. You can have that. So you get one just regular healing potion. And what you're looking for, what are you looking for? Something that you can stop spells?
Or protection from spells, or, you know, big old force field over the town, you know?
I'm not really regular sure stuff like that can happen in a potion, but tell you what, look, I can give you a potion, a dispel magic, if it kind of any negative effects on a person if they drink a potion that can do it.
That'll work.
That's handy.
It's a pretty powerful one. It's kind of the best I can do. But she gives you a potion of dispel magic.
Cool.
It's essentially just the same as the spell and whoever drinks it.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, I think that's kind of. That's the best I can kind of do. If you still have the potions that I gave you last night or whenever that was, that should do you. So
no, we really appreciate that. I mean, that's super helpful.
Look, fucking walk strong. May the road rise up to meet you. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And like before, you know, may you never lose your place in this world.
I mean, we try. There's not just one place for us, but we know where we're going. Soon, I'm gonna. Kind of like looks wistfully at the potions that are brewing. It's like, and look, thanks again for the stone roses. Soon I'll be shaking my hips just like you, in honor of our good ancient lady Shakira.
Can shake their hips just like me, and Con keeps going.
Fascinating.
Thanks.
Look, I'll tell you what, right? You've had your coffee. A bush here, we're here looking for you. Oh, I see it in there. Yeah, he's got them.
Yeah, they're in that bush.
Yeah, yeah, look, I think we'll. I think we'll find out what yous are doing on the next episode, and if that is all right, yeah.
The passage of time.
Yeah, shit's going down, guys. Shit's going down.
Mm, absolutely.
And we have
one
day without a fight.
No.
Well, that was technically a day without a fight, wasn't it?
No.
No.
We haven't had a fight yet today. We had one last night.
Two yesterday.
So this day is going well for not having fights so far.
Maybe, yeah.
First few hours.
Yeah, first few hours.
Do you know where else shit is going down, Dylan? Ryan?
Where?
Smock Alley.
Hey!
6th of May.
On the 6th of May.
On the 6th of May in Dublin City. That is a weekend, so you got all the time you need to get there.
Yeah, but it is a Saturday. It's a great day to have something cool on.
Isn't it? Like, you can be real cool and be like, hey, do you know what I'm doing tonight? I'm going to see Hearthfire Tales live at Smock Alley Theatre, 6th of May in Dublin City. Tickets on sale now.
And your friends will be like, what's that? And you'll be like, it's going to be a cool interactive D&D experience. We're going to watch these guys play D&D. It could be really fun. There's going to be some crowd interaction. There's going to be lots of like improv nonsense. I might even be part of it by rolling some dice and giving some prompts or something. Yeah.
There's going to be libations. Don't miss out. Tickets are moving.
Yeah,
they are. Yeah,
they are moving.
See, either you get to tell your friends about it, or your friends will be like, where were you?
Yeah.
We were all at
Don't
this.
Come down with the dreaded FOMO.
Yes.
The FOMO will get you guys.
It will.
Yeah, for sure.
FOMO is deadlier than Blake or any Hoots Force.
Yeah, for sure. FOMO is just the worst. Like, it dictates my entire life.
Thanks, guys.
And now it can dictate yours.
Okay, until next time, have a good one and stay dangerous.